Thank you for tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to come together in this place. Lord, we want to give you all the honor and the glory for the things that you do every day in our lives. And it's the hundreds of little things that we don't even recognize that you're in on. We want to ensure that we show that we love you and care for you in our actions and our deeds and how we speak to one another, but also how we represent you in our community. Lord, we do have some requests. This I think for Pastor, it concerns us, it concerns him. If it concerns him, it's going to concern us. And we just pray for healing. I prayed for healing for him today so that I wouldn't be here, but Lord, it's your will, not mine. We thank you for Lita and her development of her knee, and we just pray that she will continue to get stronger and be back with us in person. Lord, also, Tim Kent, his mobility is our concern, but also his health. Lord, just give us directions on how to help him with his health and be with him as he works through his mobility as well. Lord, the other things that concern us, little things, as we fill in where our good friend has left, that we do it with honor and we do it with a great deal of grace, and to show that we are encouraged through direction and strength so that we can continue the work. And specifically, I think of Habitat for Humanity as we try to put some houses for some folks in this community as well. So, Lord, just be with us as we have some discussions this evening, and give us some directions, and I would appreciate lots of questions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so as we go, and, you know, Pastor, if you want to jump in here, so thinking about giving, and I'm only going to take a couple of minutes on this, okay? That's not what I plan, but Andy and I were talking. So we're thinking about giving, okay, especially here. But we think about tithe and offering and faith promise and then the others. And I'll just say the others. The others being the needs of our fellowship, individual needs of individuals here. You know, I know we got Joe and he runs around and helps people like crazy. I don't do that so much. But we have needs of our brothers and sisters here. We have, you know, some needs in IAGM. And we have community needs that each and every one of us has a little heart tug for. And I'm going to say pregnancy care. That's a huge thing to me. What, they don't call that now. What do they call it? Family Hope Center. Sorry. So I knew that they didn't call it that. I couldn't come up with it in my brain. All right. But you got Family Hope and you got, you know, for me, House of Concern, Habitat for Humanity for me. I mean, each one of us, and I know B has the food, what is it? Food pantry at school. Where is your decision making, and how do you decide is kind of up to you. But if we really listen and we learn from biblical knowledge, I would dare say that tithe is first overall. And then there's some direction to offering or some other giving. And then the rest is as your budget can continue those others. And, you know, and I think, you know, like last Wednesday, we took up a little impromptu offering for Tim. That's a great thing, okay? Is it once? Is it twice? I know pregnancy care is, it could be monthly, but we do it, what, once a year? But there's a lot of other things that I think we as Christians see a need for. And so we end up giving. I know that if you, and Andy and I were talking, if you listen to those guys on the financial guys on Family Life, they say like 75 to 90% of churchgoers really don't give a tithe. And I go back to my days on my former career. They used to say of us, you know, only 20% of the department is actually working. I hope I was one of them. I don't know. But all I'm saying is it seems that we have a draw to give. We do. And that's not terrible. And, you know, it's not like I'm saying we should focus our giving, you know, altogether, because I don't think, you know, each of us has a little different draw as well. But we were just talking about it, so I just thought, hey, we got Faith Promise coming up, IGM conference coming up, we've got the financials just for here that are very important. Keep the lights on, keep the heat on. You know, maybe top the parking lot, you know, next year. So, you know, we've got needs here too. So, you know, Pastor does a better job at this at teaching giving. We should be reminded of, you know, your budget. Menzo was the best on budget, wasn't he? You know, here it is. This is the box. Live with it. You know? he was just so black and white on that. So anyway,
that's a good summary. No, I think that's a really good. I think that's a really good summary. First, I just want to say I want to thank everybody for praying today. The doctor's appointment went very well. They when I got there. They began to review the pictures from the appointment today versus what they felt last month looked like, and said that there was definitely progress, that the hemorrhage had really dried up considerably. It was in a stage of, you know, maybe even the end stage
where
it should be. And they were debating on whether or not to do another injection and said, well, we might as well, just because you're here and it worked the first time. There's two schools of thought. One is to leave it alone. The other one is to just finish the course of them to prevent, you know, other things. And one of the doctors even said the injection would help with the inflammation, and there was still some underlying inflammation. So we went ahead and did it, but I don't have to go back in a month. Now they said I could go back in 2 months. We've got to monitor the progress. See how it goes. But it was very encouraging today, and they did say that it looks like this is, we're going to make a recovery completely with the right eye. So we're not really tight. So anyway, that's that. The by the way, that was a very good summary of giving and the directions that we could give. And I think one of the things that you have to think about when you have when you talk about the subject is the underlying character of the individual who is, you know, who we're talking about is us. And the question is, are we generous? And are we allowing God to develop a principle of generosity in our hearts? Because, you know, I can give the least amount and be able to look up Bible verses and support the fact that, yes, I'm tithing, and yes, I participate in offerings. But what God is looking for is a characteristic of generosity, a personal virtue of generosity, as he has himself demonstrated by the giving of his very own son for us. You know, to give of himself, to give sacrificially, and to give generously, that's the kind of character God is looking for. So a pastor could focus on a couple things. They could focus on the health of the finances of the church, which could be important, but he could also focus on whether or not God is developing a spirit of generosity in the body, in the congregation. And I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that our congregation has really developed an amazing sense of generosity. And I know that over the past couple of years, you know, Menzo and I would review things pretty regularly. And, you know, we would say and ask this question, I wonder how many of our congregation is really tithing and giving, and is there a spirit of generosity? And we often would say, and he would often say, that he believed that 80 to 90% of our congregation was tithing. Because you can't look at our budget and the number of people we have without thinking, okay, people are giving sacrificially and extraordinarily. And so I think that, you know, when I hear this number, 60 to 70% of people in churches don't tithe, that may be true in the majority of churches, but I can say in our church, the opposite and more is true. And I think that we're probably closer to the 75-80% tithing. And I know that, you know, like I said, Menzo and I would have those conversations as we would review the finances and talk about that. But I just to reiterate, you have the principle of generosity as the underlying virtue. Then you have tithing, which belongs to God. It's not giving. Tithing isn't about giving.
Mm-hmm.
Tithing is about responsibility. Tithing is about obedience. Generosity comes in the form of the offerings. So when someone says, well, you know, it's time to give, and we're going to have an offering, and we're going to say, you know, boy, this is great that someone gives their tithes. We don't really give our tithe. The tithe is something God takes. You understand the difference?
Mm-hmm.
So the tithe is something that should just be automatic. Every new believer should start as soon as possible. But the other thing you mentioned, which is really good, and that's the fact that your finances have to be in order. You know, we're to do everything decently and in order. And the person who is tithing is someone who has a budget. He understands budgeting. That's probably why he's tithing. But he should have a budget, and he should also be taking care of his own family. Paul said someone who doesn't care for their own family is worse than an infidel. So budgeting is really, you know, having a real understanding of your finances, putting them in order, and then you're tithing. And when you're putting them in order, they're blessed. And when they're blessed, then I can give as God has blessed. And I can have a little bit of, what's that word? A little bit of, you know, being able to choose where offered to loan stuff.
Do you?
It's probably a good time to see if anybody's got a question.
Do you? I mean, when I. And it's the old man in me. When I think of giving, tithing, and I'm glad I don't do the finances, because wouldn't it be? I mean, is it responsible to do some training on a regular basis when it comes to giving?
You mean as a
body?
Teaching?
Yeah, as a teaching.
Sure. Yeah, it is. And we used to do it a lot more regularly because we used to take offers. I don't know if you remember back when you'd get up on a Sunday morning, and every Sunday morning someone would share a verse and talk about giving, and we kind of kept it in front of everybody. But when we began to give, when we began to submit our tithes and give our offerings electronically, the need for getting up in front of everybody and taking an offering kind of dissipated. And I can't remember if that was COVID when we started to make that change, or if it was pre-COVID.
It was
for us, it was way before that. But
yeah,
the I don't.
Well, it was COVID as a church, not.
Yeah, yeah, as a church, right, right.
Right.
Yeah, I don't. You know something? I just it's the concern in me that you know, are we going to be able to continue as we are, okay, with the people that we have, and with the economy the way it is, and you know that you know, doesn't, I mean, for me it goes over in my mind, but at the same time. You know, I think of as tithe and some offering, even though, you know, even when you have a budget, it shows us that we can rely on God for the rest of it. You know, okay, now I can rely on God. But at the same time, it's, you know, what's that, Proverbs, it's honor God with your first fruits. Or your wealth and your first fruits or something like that. But you just, I don't know. You put God first, and then sometimes you get to give to other things. And you find the money to give to other things, you know. I've shared that I saw giving by, you know, some folks that was just amazing, that you wouldn't think, you know? And then you go, geez, are they shorting themselves on something else? You know, you just, don't you worry about, yeah. Do you, I mean, as we go forward this year, I know it's, you know, it's February. I really have concerns for, you know, to help out here. Our close family, you know, you know, because.
So, Carrie, let me in here again. You made a great reference to a great verse and a really important principle called the first fruits. And the first fruits was an Old Testament principle that God told Israel when they did a harvest, that before they took anything for themselves, or before anyone got anything from their fields, they would take a percentage of the harvest, and that belonged to God. That would be brought to the temple and given to God. And that's the principle of the first fruits. It's interesting that Jesus is called the first fruit of God.
Hmm.
And he's literally the tithe of God. It doesn't mean he's only 10% of God. But it does mean that, you know, before God did anything else, the very first thing was Christ, you know, in terms of priority.
Right.
So the tithe is that first fruit. And people would ask all the time, well, do I tithe off my gross? Do I tithe off my net? Or is it, well, and I love how, I remember Menzel said one time, he says, well, do you want God to get the first fruits or the government? decide that, you know?
Well, yeah. The government takes either way. So that I like to say I'm going to give God first fruits, you know?
Amen.
I mean, that's what we like to think. But, yeah. You know, because the government, they just come anyway and take it. But
I want to add one more thing here because of the concern communicated. And obviously what you're referring to is the fact that, you know, one of our largest donors and givers is not here. And, you know, yeah, that's true. But I want to just say one thing here. This church has been here for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
For the first 10 or 12 years, we never missed a payment. We never missed a rent check when we were renting. We never missed a bill that was due. We never missed paying staff. Nothing was ever late. And that was because this is God's church. And God's, and I remember I heard this before I went to Africa. One, I don't remember who said the quote, maybe somebody knows, but God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply.
Yeah.
God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. The church has been here long before any individuals who are here now will be here long after by the grace of God. So I'm thankful for, you know, the expression of concern, but let me just encourage you and everyone else. God's work done God's way will not lack God's supply. Never has, never will. And I'm pretty confident God's going to take care of what he needs to take care of because this is his place. This is his church.
Amen.
He put this together. He called us to do this together. And he's not going to leave us hanging. But I love the idea and the notion that we really need to train on this and think about this and talk about it. Because it is important that we become mature in this area just like any other area. You know, it'd be one thing if, hey, everybody's giving their time to the church property. Well, great. Yeah, everybody's serving in the church ministry. Yeah, great. But the giving is sporadic and no one's consistent and all that. That would be bad. You know, that would be just one of the areas that we need to grow in. And I think this is one of those areas that our church is very, very good in.
Mm-hmm.
But it can always grow. We can always become better. We can always train other people.
Right.
Everyone in our church who's been here for more than a few years should be able to talk to anyone else in the church and tell them why they tithe, why they give, what the Bible verses are, what the principles are behind it, and be able to support the activity of giving through financial, you know, responsibility.
Absolutely. Anybody have any comments before we? I mean, now I'm, you know, 7 o'clock. Now we're going to jump to something else. But I just.
There was one comment I thought of as you guys were talking. I don't know if you
go
guys
ahead.
Can hear me.
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
I was actually just doing a podcast on generosity, and one of the things that really struck me was they're like, what is our attitude? And our attitude in our giving, how we give, reflects how we actually think of God. God is so overabundant in love that flows out from him, and there's an overwhelming amount. And he gives us things, and then we are tasked with, do we trust that there's enough, or do we believe in scarcity and that there's never going to be enough, so we need to guard for ourselves? Can we trust that God is overabundant and generous and will take care of us, or are we going to think there's scarcity, there's not enough, build up for ourselves and pour for ourselves because we don't know if God's going to continue to give?
Right.
And I just thought that was, wow. Can you look at my finances and say, oh yeah, I definitely trust God?
Well, that's a really good point. Now I'm going to tell you that I think in our house we did fairly well, but it was Menzo's teaching that made us do better. I mean, and you know, it was are we there yet? No, but I mean, we You know, well, we're at that age where, you know, some of the things we've had, and Babette hasn't asked for anything new, but, well, she has, but I put that on a 5-year plan. But anyway, it really was, he did teaching here, he did teaching at the bank, he did teaching, it didn't matter. I'd talk to him about stuff. So, I mean, it is good, and I'm going to say, Pastor, I'll throw it to you, but I mean, it is good to we continue to teach that. But at the same time, we have I'll call him a missionary pastor. He is involved in missions like crazy. When we started to go to Africa, and he started the Safe Water Ghana, and it was to help Josephus in Africa, got him a truck. We went twice. We saw him. We were able to touch him, feel him, listen to him. You know, it's a really great to know what he's doing and how you're helping. And that's, you want to continue that. And then, he's got to bring in IAGM, you know, and you got to bring missionaries here. And then all of a sudden now you see them and you hear their story and you know they're dedicated. And now they put the hook in you. Yeah. But the benefit goes to God, but the direction really goes to G. And I'm going to say that, you know, he's not listening anyway. He's probably, you know, whatever. But it's that direction that now you say, oh, geez, okay, we give here. But, oh, we want to do this over here. Okay? All the missionaries that we support, doesn't it tug? It tugs at you at times. I don't know if it does or not. But, I mean, it's like, you know, when Katie's mom comes and talks about pregnancy or the Family Hope, you know, that's a tug. We need that. We need that stuff. So anyway, all right.
I got a question for it.
Okay.
So Sunday, you know, Steve got up and talked about faith promise a little bit and challenged us all to prayerfully consider our faith promise giving in light of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. So you guys have been doing faith promise for quite a while. What does that challenge look like for you?
G.
we started doing, Karen and I started giving faith promise back in the church of Rome. When it was first rolled out, it was very daunting. It was very challenging because, you know, I was self-employed at the time. It was very difficult for me to think about, okay, I'm tithing and I'm giving a little bit in the offering. To make a commitment of a substantial amount on a regular basis, that's like, okay, I'm going from 10% to 15%, 10, 12% of my income or whatever it is. And we found, you know, when you just started doing it, just like the tithe, it just came out and you were able to do it and keep up with it. But the challenge, I think, maybe you're asking this, Jason, for those of us who have been doing it for a while, is to think about, okay, so let's say I've been giving $20 a week to Faith Promise. And I've been doing that for 9 years. Well, that $20 may have gone a certain distance 9 years ago, but it doesn't go the same distance as it did 9 years ago, especially in the last 3 years. So now I got to think about, have I received any raises in the last 10 years? And I can tell you that, you know, as the pastor of the church, I have. So did I keep up with my raises? Then, you know, I get a bonus at work. Did I think about that with my bonus at work? Am I working to clear my budget from things I don't really need? I put something on Facebook today. I usually don't post this kind of stuff on Facebook, but I said, don't buy things you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't like. And we do that all the time. We still buy things we don't need with money we really don't have, you know. But yeah, I think that's a really good challenge to be thinking about. There tends to be some confusion in those verses about, is that giving to the church or is that missions giving? Well, when Paul came to collect on behalf of those other churches, that was missionary giving. That was a planned dollar amount that he would come and collect. And the implication in the original language that he did that a few times, so it was getting to be regular. So that's kind of where that comes from. But I do want to just leap backwards a little bit to Raquel, who made that really good connection between generosity and believing God and the character of God who is generous toward me. And I think that's a really, really good connection. Where you started, Harriet, talking about, you know, things that can be a distraction from giving, I thought of that verse, he that observeth the clouds soweth not. The King James Version says, he that observeth the clouds soweth not. When we look at the economy and the horizon and possible price increases and the threats of recession and all that stuff, if we keep our eyes and our ears on those things,
yeah,
we're not going to sow.
Right.
We're not going to sow like we ought to sow. You know? But if we keep our eyes on the promises of God, who has said, faithful is he who called you, he will also do it. My God will supply your need according to his riches and glory. And on we could go. We keep our eyes on those things, those verses, those promises. Then the generosity, the character of selfless sacrifice is not only possible, but it's something that we actually enjoy, because now we're fellowshipping with part of God. We're fellowshipping with God on a level that we never were able to before, because this generous giving God is someone who is known better by generous giving people. When God develops generosity and giving in us, we understand that better in him. We appreciate it more in him. We worship it more in him. We experience something that very few people get to experience. The hoarder, I think someone said something about hoarding. Maybe it was Jason. The hoarder is someone who will never experience that kind of love, that kind of generosity from God. That's someone who has learned to let go of physicality, let go of physical things, and release them to God, trust that God not only will replace, but God will go above and beyond all I could ever ask or think. This is one of the reasons why people don't dream big.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons why business people don't dream big, why believers don't dream big, why young people don't dream big, is because they don't understand the generosity of God. They've been told that they've got to, you know, you got to go, and there's nothing wrong with college. Some people should definitely go. But you're not going to have anything unless you go to college. You're not going to be able to succeed without doing this or that. Well, you're not going to be able to succeed unless you know the generosity of God. That's the key. The key is to know God's generosity and enjoy it, focus on it, and realize it's true. Because when I'm free, and well, let me rephrase this. When I'm focused on the generosity of God, then I'm going to be free to explore and experiment and take risks that many people won't take because they don't know the generosity of God. And frankly, it's not even really a risk when I'm obeying God. And the last thing I want to say is this. There's a difference between being presumptuous and being led by the Lord. Being presumptuous just means I'm going to look at my budget. It's not going to be in order. And I'm going to say, I'm going to give, you know, X amount of dollars without any consideration. Mm-hmm. And we had a guy who came to church here many years ago, and he would put these extraordinary checks in the offering from his paycheck. And I remember one afternoon, I talked to Menzel. I said, can I ask you a question? He said, what's that? I said, this particular person has been giving these large amounts. I'm concerned for his family because I see how they dress. I know where they live. I've seen the kids, the clothes the kids are wearing. How would you go about talking to him about not giving so much to the church? And Menzel basically said, well, you're going to have a conversation with him about, you know, see if he has a budget and see, because, you know, him and I both agreed we didn't want to take food off the family table so the guy could put in the big check at the church.
Right.
So he was being presumptuous, because that's not being led by God either. And you know, by the way, the more, sometimes if you talk about this stuff too much, you have new people in your congregation are going to misunderstand where you're coming from.
Right.
A lot of churches, it's money, 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 money every single week. And we certainly don't want to do that, but I think the mistake I've made over the years has been to not talk about it enough and not teach it as thoroughly possibly as we could. I've always hoped that if we model world missions and be involved in ministries that the church would get it. And that's been successful to some extent, but I'm certainly open to changing that approach too.
I didn't bring it up to say that we should change that approach. I'm just in. Okay, so tonight I was going to talk about God's supremacy, God's sovereignty, and Christ's sufficiency. And when I was looking at verses for sufficiency, you know, and you do the Ephesians, Father above all, or Father of all, above all, through all, and y'all. When, you know, I started to think about, you know, well, we got faith promise coming up. What is going to be, what am I going to do with that? And then where is my tithe out of my check coming? Where is that at? And it made me start to look at, because I don't look at my pay stub. I don't, you know, it's online. You know, I don't look at it. So you go to the pay stub and you go, oh, okay, maybe I should do this or maybe I should do that. And then you start thinking about those other things. And I say pregnancy care, but Family Hope came to mind. And then Habitat came to mind. And IAGM, because I'm going to tell you that Pastor has really been able to show us what these ministries are doing around the world, and they tug, and we give, and that's great. I got this other stuff. I want to do this too. You know what I mean? So that was the only, and it was just Andy and I having a conversation. Now I kind of dragged you all in and used up most of the time, but that's where that thought came to me today when I was looking at Ephesians 4 and Isaiah and stuff like that. I go, ah, what do you got to think about, you know?